Nothing gets fans in trouble faster than optimism. Right now, football feels like it's trending up. Basketball is doing their thing, other than today, and hope is everywhere. But is this momentum actually real, or is it just hype dressed up as progress? I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers, ring one up.
And discussion from the fan perspective. Woohoo! Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday evening to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers. On today's show, we're talking vibes and whether we should actually trust them. We'll start with football and ask the big question: do we have real reasons to be excited, or is this yet another heartbreak in the making? Then we'll hit Wisconsin basketball, look at what's working and not working during this recent stretch, and give out some midseason superlatives as we take stock of where this team really is. You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. If you like what we're doing, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button so you know when we make new content. A couple quick things. We really were going to be excited to talk about basketball on the show, and then the USC game happened today, which kind of puts a little bit of a damper on our basketball section, but still midseason. We're going to, you know, it's kind of in that middle area of the season. So we're going to do some midseason superlatives, talk about the team a little bit. We'll get into football as well before that a little bit. But congrats to the Patriots fans that we have on here. Gross. And the Seahawks for making the Super Bowl. I wanted it to be the Broncos and the Rams. And I said, but what's really going to happen is it's clearly going to be the Patriots and the Seahawks. And that sucks.
We knew that Denver was unlikely when they lost Knicks. Like,
they literally only had to score 10 points and they missed three field goals. What the hell is going on? Stidham played fine. It was like their defense played great. They made them bad. To me, it was a horrible decision to not kick early in the game. And I don't want to just say that. You know me, I'm always like a points guy. I want to take points when points are available, especially in a low scoring game. But whatever. I think the Seahawks are going to win. I'm okay with that. I do not want to see the Patriots win. I really don't. I feel like they were just a dynasty. Can we please stop with them?
I don't think they're going. Like, I think Seattle's just going to kind of drub them. Like, it feels like they're a runaway train right now. I know the Rams gave them a good game, but isn't it going to be so weird to see Sam Darnold be the potentially Super Bowl
winner? And Drake May. Sam Darnold and Drake May are the
Sam Darnold who, well, I mean, Drake May has some pedigree.
Well, I know, mean, but still, it's not like young. One of the household names. What I'm saying, it's we're talking about like quarterbacks. You're like, wait, what? They're in the Super Bowl.
We're regressing back to the whole, the roster being more important than the quarterbacks. And I think there's some truth to that, honestly, at this point. Like, do you feel like there's any quarterback that right now has been going out there and just kind of taking over?
Sam Darnold has looked very, very good.
He has, but I don't think we look at him as being like a transcendent like quarterback. Like he's a very good game manager.
I agree. But I mean, like Stafford, I think has been balling out. Like I like Matt Stafford.
Stafford was like a top five quarterback in the league forever.
It's just anyway, it's weird to see that. But congrats to those teams. If you, and I know we have fans all over the place. If you're a fan of Seahawks or the Patriots, congrats to you. And yeah, bring back to NFL 2K. Riger has been cooking at the Shrine Bowl. Absolutely, he has, man.
Look out there. There's some reports. There's a couple of guys that are actually at the practices and stuff who are talking about him really having a good go of it. I believe Mitchell was down there with him too.
Yeah, I think Riger's going to be a good pro. I think he is.
I think he absolutely will.
He's going to be not going to be some all-time defender kind of guy, like a Watt brother, but he's going to just be a serviceable pass rusher in the NFL.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could see him being a totally like a six sack guy in the NFL.
What's your round prediction if he gets drafted?
It's third or fourth.
I was thinking fourth or fifth, but yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I think there's a chance he jumps to the third just because, like, there's so many intangibles with him where you're like, these skills are going to play in the pros. Like, he's going to bust his butt for you. And he's, worst case, he's going to be a really good culture guy that plays really hard for you. And I don't think that that's something that you can look at a lot of guys and say, this is, we can count on this from this guy. I'm looking at it with the Green Bay Packers right now, and it drives me nuts. Like, I see these guys on the roster and I'm like, we totally just draft athletes. Like, we don't care if they have any instincts or like mental ability to read and process. We just want the best athletes. And because of that, you have games where they just look like garbage because they are not locked in and they don't have good instincts. So they get burned on stuff.
Yeah. 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 We'll see what happens. Super Bowl in 2 weeks. It'll be fun. And we'll see what happens with, you know, these guys. I do think the Shrine Bowl is going to do well. It's going to do well for him though. Like, he's, if he grades out well, as far as numbers and stuff like that, it's great. Will Hanna says he's a third lock if he runs well. So
what do you think he's going to run? You think he can get to the 4.7s?
No, maybe.
I think that's probably, he's not going to pull like a 4.6 out. Like,
no,
I can see him being a 4.7 guy.
Yeah.
Which I think is good enough.
It's good enough. It's, look, for that position, it's technique. Like, he's got the required speed to be a good pass rusher. The question is, can he deal
with length?
Can he deal with an NFL offensive tackles? That's the real question. And we saw him do well against good teams that we play this year. So anyway, I digress. We're starting with some football talk today. And I did a show earlier this week on the pod only version about like hype and optimism and how excited I was about the two programs. And of course, basketball went and lost today, which sucks. But I wanted to, and then you and I have been texting back and forth with Ryan a little bit about like just whether or not it's fair to have the kind of hype and whether you're someone who is into this or not. But so I know you talked a little bit on Ryan's show, but let's start with your overall optimism. I'm very curious, put yourself in the comments. Like, transfer portal is basically closed. The team is basically set, more, you know, less a few players here and there. How do you feel about it? Are you comfortable? Are you happy? Are you optimistic? Where are you at going into to basically being another month and a half out from spring ball?
I feel pretty good about the roster in terms of like potential. I think there's a lot of guys who could be answers on there. I think we got a few guys who I think we know are. Like, there's, you look at some of the spots that we knew were going to be weaknesses, and I think we did pretty good at getting at least one guy at every one of them that we know is going to be a upgrade over what we had. I feel like Burks is going to be an upgrade at safety. I think Robinson's going to be an upgrade at corner. I think that Kowicki is going to be an upgrade at center. And obviously, Joseph's clearly going to be a upgrade at quarterback. Really, the position that I think that people would argue on, there's two. Tight end, which I think Mason could have had a really good season if we had a quarterback that was not garbage. And wide receiver. And I don't think, like, it almost doesn't matter how good wide receiver was last year because we had nobody to get him the ball. So it's like, we couldn't take advantage of the talent that was there anyways. So I like, tell me if I'm wrong on this. Like, this is your perspective. They're going to statistically be far better this year at wide receiver simply because the quarterback is going to be capable of actually running the offense and passing to them.
I mean, they should be, they should be.
I mean, it would be almost impossible for us to be as inept offensively as we were throwing the football last year. What did we end up with total yards? Like 1,500 or something like that?
It's woefully low.
And it was the lowest we've had since like Barry was here running like option with Mike Samuel and stuff like that.
God, seriously. Chris Schwinn says, at this point, I'm just waiting to see this team. Been burned too many times, getting excited. I understand, very much understand this take, and this is kind of the take that Justin has as well. I'm just kind of like, you're just kind of a wait and see kind of guy. But I definitely, we're gonna get into that.
Just from that perspective, I'm not putting a ceiling on it. Like, I'm just saying, like, there's defined pieces that I think will be better. I don't know what better means. Like, I'd like to think the floor is 6-6. I know Ryan said 5-7 on his show, and I'm like, so much has to go wrong for 5-7 to happen with how weak our schedule is to me. Like, we would need the offensive line. Like, there's ways for us to get to 6-6 simply by the offensive line being better this year. Because if we can run the football better at all, it changes the dynamic a little bit. Because last year it was horrific for running, both running and passing.
Yeah. From a roster perspective, I do feel pretty good about this team. I do feel good about the quarterback. I feel better about almost every position. I don't feel better at pass rusher just because of Reiger not being there. I feel pretty nice
with
the additions, right? But I don't feel that great about it. I don't feel as good about the D-line just because I think the D-line was really strong last year, losing guys like Suggs. Like, I think it should be all right, but it's still a question mark for me. What I know is that the cornerback room is going to be better. The quarterback room is going to be better. And there are positions like that where I'm like, that feels pretty good. The safety, I think Marvin Burks, you're absolutely right, is a really big get. And that's someone that's going to be better. So I do feel good. And where I'm at overall is that I do believe in like just the optimism of it. You guys know that. That's how I've always been. I just feel like if you're going to get pissed when we suck anyway, which we all are, okay, if we suck, we're going to get pissed. Why not have a little bit of joy right now? Like you can be like, well, wait and see. I'm not going to get excited until I see it on the field. Okay, fine. Totally respectable take. I just feel like then I'm never going to be able to be excited. So I'm going to take this opportunity when we have zero losses in the next season to say, you know what? I'm going to just be excited about it because I do like the pieces and I can back that up. I can speak to why. It's not just I'm like, it's blind. When you look at the positions across the team, I'm feeling like we've got some athletes and I do feel like the culture might be on a bit of an upswing. As soon as, look, this is what I'm just going to say. The minute that Chris McIntosh came out and said that Luke Fickell is staying, and we were all like, wow, what the hell is going on here? Literally ever since that point, we've been playing better. Like we hit that rock bottom. We won two games. Yes, we lost to Minnesota, but we played better. We finished the season in a much better position than we were in the middle of it. And we've replaced and we got the number one position that you can ever ask for, which is a quarterback. We got the guy that many of us wanted, that they wanted, that a lot of people were after. If that doesn't make you optimistic, then what will? What will?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm still optimistic. It's just cautiously optimistic. Like I want to believe. Like I have in my head like a expectation, but I don't expect it to the point of like until I see something. Like I can see something to verify that what my expectations are a possibility. And I think what some of the stuff we'll hear out of spring ball will tell us a lot. I do feel like I was going to say you brought up defensive line. I actually like Poizer better than anybody that we got in last year. I actually think that there's a lot of upside there.
Are you confident that group is going to be as good as it was last year?
I think it is. I don't know about the edges. So that's the spot that I'm a little bit.
But like the defensive middle, you're okay with that group.
Yeah, I am. Because I think you're kind of gaining across the board to an extent because the guys that were here, I think, will be better. And the guys that we lost, like the guy, like Poizer is more sudden and stronger than anyone. Like, yeah, I think he's a better version of Suggs. Like, I think he's more capable of being able to just be disruptive than what Suggs was. I think there's no Barton, so to speak. I think Anderson is the closest thing to that. And we'll see what he's capable of bringing. But I do think that he's going to come in and be a guy that's going to be able to anchor in the middle. And I think you've got a couple other younger guys. Like, I think Johnson's going to be capable of doing a little bit more this year. I think Perkins is going to be able to do a little bit more. Like, I think the Brandon Lane trajectory is kind of what you're looking at with Perkins. And you have to hope that he can go out there and be a guy who is capable of giving you those snaps and doing some nice things and being able to plug up the middle as Brandon Lane kind of took the jump from year one to two.
I think that there's going to be a point next year. I hope this doesn't happen, but I fear that there's going to be a point at which we're going to say, boy, we really miss Ben Barton. I think his loss is underestimated, man. Like he was a really important piece of this team.
Absolutely. I think he was probably our best defensive lineman.
Who's replacing him? Like, where's that production coming from?
I think that what you're looking, there's varying degrees in how you look at that. Do I think that we have guys that are capable of stuffing the run? Yes. I don't know we're going to see somebody that's going to block a couple kicks, and I don't know you're going to see somebody who is necessarily he did a nice job of being disruptive at times that I think some of these other guys won't. I think you got a better version of Suggs, and I think the way I look at it, I like some of the younger pieces growing into roles that potentially could offer something that is unexpected.
Good comment here from MB Anderson, which I agree with. I don't think Whitlow's getting enough credit. You're right. Like we need to bring him up because he's very fantastic. And MB Anderson is why I'm actually okay. I'm not I'm more playing devil's advocate with Justin on this. Like, I do like this unit. I'm just saying it's a question mark to me because, you know, like the talent, like the Barton thing is a question mark. The thing that gives me confidence though is EJ Whitlow, because I think he's been a really good coach.
Well, it's not only that, we're not going into the season with our biggest guy being 300 and the next guy down being like 290. Like we did a couple years ago.
I mean, that's
so it's like you at least have some beef that you should expect in that room to be able to anchor in the middle.
Yeah. Eric Dockett, friend of the show. Before the season last year, you didn't know Barton was going to shine. There are a couple potential dudes that could pop the same. Totally Absolutely. Agree with that take. It would definitely.
And we have guys that we expect to.
We could, hey, listen, Dylan Johnson could have a breakout season. Like he could have Absolutely. A breakout season because we loved him coming in, right?
I mean,
like,
he's the strongest guy on the team from what I've heard.
Yeah. We could see anybody like to kind of really take that jump, which is really good. And I am positive about that. But you're more of the like you don't want to get disappointed, so you're kind of protecting yourself a little bit.
Absolutely. I you know how intense I get. Like I don't
Oh yes.
And that's the difference. Like I am ultra competitive and I do not like to lose games that I think we should win. That's why today's USC game basketball game got to me. Because I'm like, so much of this was Wisconsin losing this game rather than them, you know, the other team winning it. And, like, that drives me nuts. And Wisconsin has had a history of that. Like, the losses to, like, Ohio State and stuff like that when they would happen, I'm like, they're loaded with first-round draft picks and stuff like that. It's like, yes, I get frustrated and I get upset by it. But it's like, it's not the same as losing a game to, like, Minnesota or Iowa or whatever, where I feel like you're on an even playing field. And it's like, then you do stupid stuff. Like a guy fumbles or whatever and barely gets touched, or a guy drops a pass that's off his hands. Like he's wide open. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, these are the things that are controllable.
Yeah. Yeah. Bananas. the one thing that you have to admit though, is that the team, they spent more. Like the roster. Absolutely. The roster spend is another reason for me to be pretty optimistic about it, because I'm like, well, we actually did. I don't know that we did what we said we're going to do. I don't know that we're in top third, but I don't know that anyone knows that as far as for sure. But we increased. We actually went out there and got our players. So I'm very – I think that is another reason where I'm like, there has to be an uptick just because of that. Like that, we know that matters, and I think we can have a little more confidence that the talent we've brought in is going to do something because we paid for it. Is it, you know what I mean?
So my perspective on this is there's still money that was there. The problem was, is we had players that we were fighting for that we just don't have a track record right now to seal the deal on. I don't think it was a money issue. I think it was we were a 4-8 team last year issue. And I respect not overpaying for players to try and force it when you're not in a position for that to make sense. Like, still follow your board. If you have a value assessed to a guy, don't offer him 400 grand more to get the deal done when it's clear he doesn't want to come to your school, because nothing good is going to come from that if it's just strictly a mercenary deal. I think what we're looking at is this year has an opportunity to really be positive for this football program in terms of what it does for next year's portal. If you have an 8-4 or 9-3 type season, if things really go well, you can look at it and be like, all right, we have the same type of money to play with now. And now we can say we were good this year. You can be one of the final pieces to kind of put us over the hump. But I don't think we have that to sell quite yet. And I think that burned us. Like I think Pagan probably comes here or Pagan, or however the heck you say his name.
Pagan. Yeah, I think.
If he's not, I realize that he had some links to Utah, but Utah was also 10-2 last year. And like, I've seen people act like we lost that one, like because of money. It's like, no, he had connections there and they were really good last year. So it's not hard to make that calculation as a player and say, money matters, but do I really want to be on a team where I'm just miserable because we're getting our butts kicked? And until we prove that we're not that, people are going to view us that way.
Yeah. Yeah. The schedule comes out this week, by the way. So I was going to go to floor and ceiling, but I think we'll wait on that officially more until the schedule's out. But it is like, I really can't see decent numbers here. When you look at two easy non-cons, maybe we can sneak one at Notre Dame. Lambeau Field, has some power, has some history for us, right?
I would love nothing more, but it would be.
I know that Notre Dame is loaded, but I'm just saying, like, opening game of the season in a very hostile environment, like Lambeau's going to be loaded full of Badgers. Like, that's going to be a really and when the Badgers play Lambeau, there is special there. That's a special moment. Like that means something, and I think that's going to potentially propel us up to victory. And then you look at the Big Ten schedule, and you could see a lot of games we should win. But the schedule does come out on Tuesday, I think at 8 p.m. Central time. So we'll try to, I'm sure we'll do something on Locked On, we'll do something on here. We'll talk about it this week for sure, because that's going to be, I always like the schedule and like that release, the whole, you know, excitement of that. But I'm still optimistic about it. And I can definitely see a way that we can get to 7-8 wins. And with the ceiling of being higher than that, a floor certainly being lower, I understand the floor of 5-7, like just because if things don't work. But if Joseph's a better quarterback than we've had here in a while. I saw a comment earlier from, I think, Bill Woj. I'm going to put that comment up here. I wanted your take on this. It's no different than the last 3 years. Joseph is about the same as Mordecai. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think Mordecai not being successful had a lot more to do with the offense that we were running than Mordecai not being a good quarterback. I honestly think that Mordecai in this offense probably would have been really productive, because I think that we saw it. Let's be honest. We had receivers open last year. We did not have anybody that could actually read a defense and get them the football, but there were guys running free. Ballard should have had like 700 yards last year. Like, there were numerous times where he was just busted coverage or whatever on a given play where he was behind the defense and nobody saw him.
Also, he needs to make a play, because he had opportunities to make plays.
He did.
I was very furious with that guy.
But he also did make some play. I mean, what did he end up having?
He really did it, though. Like, anytime it was
a 50-50. What did he end up having, like 300 yards? Like,
I don't know. The thing is, like, when it's a 50-50 ball, I feel like he never came down 50-50 balls. I'm like, dude, you're a receiver. You got to come down to 50-50 balls, man.
He had the one against Alabama. But I mean, the game was out of reach.
That was the game was out of reach. Like, I just feel like when he's had opportunities to really do something, I don't know.
Well, now let's be fair. Nobody made plays. Really, the only receiver that actually was productive last year was Mason.
Yeah, Vinny made some plays, but not enough. And he didn't really have that. He didn't have.
Well, he didn't have opportunity. I mean, that was really the issue.
Yeah, not the best, but nonetheless, Will Hannis is 4 or 6 wins, likely 7 or 8, and if they beat Notre Dame, doubtful. Ceiling is 10. I just want to see competent quarterback play from Bo Dragon. Yeah. That would be great. I mean, competent quarterback play would be pretty damn nice. Pretty damn nice. You had something.
I would competent offensive line play. If we see that, I'll feel great. If the Mateos does what I think he's capable of doing with this line, I think we're going to be in for a much more comfortable season. And that doesn't mean it's going to be incredible. It means that I think we're going to look at games where we're like, hey, we ran for 200 yards today. Nice. That's a nice day at the office for us when we struggled to 116 yards per game this last season.
I hope so. I am a little worried about injury cover still. I think if everyone stays healthy
than we were last year.
I mean, if you were talking about Simmons and Mandel on one side and Haywood on the other and you know, Kowecki, I think you have guard question marks still, right? I mean, with the loss of Brunner, you've got Cubberly. Yes, you've got Cherry
Cubberly. Mandel potentially on the inside. Corey can play guard.
If Mandel and Cubberly were our starting guards, I'd feel pretty good about that.
Yeah. I think there's a pretty good chance that that's actually the case. We'll see what happens.
I think we both are hoping that, like, obviously Haywood is going to be a starting left tackle, but whether it's Simmons or whether it's Mandel, I don't know. But either way, my point is that I'm still worried about injury cover. Okay, that's like injuries happen. Well,
it's weird to have that. I just think that there's not really a spot that we look at and we're like, if one guy goes down, everything just falls apart.
But it did last year, like at this position.
That's because our entire depth was all redshirt freshmen.
Okay, so you feel better about the depth this year, you're saying? You're better.
Yeah. Like, I feel better. I think you're too deep at the guards for both spots where we have guys that we think can play. I think we'll find out if Barrett Nelson is actually capable this year. Like, he was injured before we even got to spring ball last year. So if he's actually functional and can go out there and play, he's probably your swing tackle. Like, I don't think I would count on him to be a starter, but I think that you can hopefully get him to be a guy that can be a backup at right or maybe even push that spot, but I think Simmons is probably the guy. I think you're looking at someone like Roski at left tackle as the backup, who, you know, we've talked about how big of a freak of nature Kevin is as an athlete. Roski's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, he's an absolutely mammoth dude. I've never seen a guy who's 6'8", 300 plus and actually carries that weight like he's a bodybuilder.
Yeah. I had to put this up before we move on to basketball. Bo Dragon, what about the crappy kicking game? That's a very fair question. Luke Fickell was asked about this, and he just kind of said, like, it is, there's, you know, they're kind of sort of happy with what they got, I guess, with Lam. I mean, I don't know, man. Like,
my frustration with that is if that was the case, if you felt that confident about him, why didn't you replace what you were doing last year? Because the kicking game was a problem.
I just was really expecting there to be like, hey, we've signed a kicker, and you know he wants. I mean, Madison, you have a lot to offer in Madison.
Do we have a non-scholarship guy that we might be considering? Somebody
I don't know.
Didn't they get the kid from in-state who was a big time?
Yeah, they did. They did. I guess I just like feel like you have a lot to offer in Madison. Madison's a great college town. I mean, as someone who went there, like it's really nice, and you've got a lot to offer. And I'm just surprised that you can't go out and get a guy who had a good year last year kicking at some lower level who wants to come up the big time to the Big Ten and like kick. I mean, come on. I don't know. It just seems odd. But anyway. All right. So USC game today sucked, really sucked, because we would have been ranked. This was our week. This was our week to jettison up into the top 24, 25, 23rd, something like that. We would have won today. We're all of a sudden getting that more national attention. Our net ranking continues to go up. And here we are looking good. Now, it's not a horrible loss, but it's just a game that we really should have won. And we're sort of left like now trying to pick up the pieces against Minnesota and Ohio State next weekend. And then we start a February that's very difficult and has 7 games against quad one opponents.
No
all
kidding.
7 games in February are quad one opponents. Maybe not all, maybe like short of one. But that's a thing. So we talked about the game on the Locked On, but any other thoughts on the basketball game today or kind of your overall takeaways and that mess?
Not really. I mean, we discussed this earlier. This is a game where like you need to be focused and play with intensity the whole game. I felt like we played with it for like 8-10 minutes to get the lead. And once that happened, we took our foot off the gas and just fell apart. And like, this is where you learn, like this team has to learn to not play with its food. Like you have to stomp on their throat and be done with it and just put the game away when that happens. And I feel like there's might be some excuses that would come out of this one as to why, you know, it's not a big deal. But the way I look at it is like, we've talked about it. This is a seeding game. This is one of those losses that's just people look at it and be like, well, they have more losses than this other team, so they can move down a spot. And don't put yourself in those situations with games that are winnable, especially at home. And yeah, you blew this one.
Yeah. I mean, look, you got to take care of your business at home. You got to split on the road. Like that's the aim every year. And this is a drop. I mean, this is our second Big Ten home loss. Like it's not, you know, we lost to Purdue. Obviously that's not a surprise, but before today, our losses in the conference were Purdue and Nebraska, very respectable losses, even against Purdue's fantastic. They have with a lot of good, really good teams in the Big Ten. But to go on the road again at Michigan and then not be able to have a game like this on your resume, it just stings. It's fine. Like, we have plenty of opportunities to be fine. We have plenty of opportunities to climb up the seeding rankings. You're right about it being a seeding game. It's fine. But you can't have – the thing is, you also can't have many of these, right? Yeah. Like, this is a fine one. But Minnesota, you have to beat them. Ohio State on Saturday, you have to beat them.
Yeah, you probably lost your mulligan.
Right, and we said like 9-2 would have been a great way to end January, but 8-3 was the more likely record. We weren't going to win all of them. We said that, like we should have, we could have, but it was fine if we were 8-3 at the end of January, and that's still fine. We got to get a couple though, and then try to do some stuff in the February. But has this team, Justin, like exceeded or fell short of your preseason expectations thus far?
It's probably right about where I figured it'd be, because I think we thought the defense would be. See, what the thing is that the ceiling has been higher than what I expected. Like when they actually play like they played against Michigan, where they're playing really hard on defense consistently, and on offense they're really focused. And I realize some of that is just you're making shots, but they also seem to really move on offense more in that game, and they didn't so much in this one at times. Like there are massive parts of this game where it just seems like we'd never touch the post. And we just move the ball around, three-man weaving at the top of the key, and it's like we're not getting any penetration here whatsoever, and you're basically trying to work Boyd into a situation, and then he just pounds the ball into the ground and then has to drive into stuff, and everyone's collapsing on him.
Yeah.
And you can't do that when nobody's hitting a three.
Kevin Brown, good friend of the show. He's a very passionate Badger fan. He says, falling short. He's, do our big guys know how to dunk? Yeah, Kevin feels a certain way about our big guys. And the reason this is the comment, is we have no ability to score in the post once the defense takes away Boyd's left hand, which that's a real thing. So, and I'm going to talk about that in my answer here. I hate to say it, but they have fallen a little slightly short of the expectations. And I want to be clear, like, the win total does not fall short of my expectations. Okay. Like I'm happy with being 6-3 in conference right now. That's an acceptable, good record. I wish we would have got some of the wins in the non-con. Like we didn't get a big victory. That Villanova game could have been a really nice win for us. We didn't get that. But the reason it's fallen a little bit short is the play of what Kevin is saying, like not having the ability to go down to the post. I thought Winter was going to be a bit more prolific down there. He's had a good year. I'm not taking it away from him, but we don't have a true five down there that can do the things that we need that five to do. And we don't have an outlet when we're not shooting well. Our outlet right now is Nick Boyd. And as Kevin points out, he takes away his left hand. Now we don't have the ability to do much of else. The thing that's really fallen short for me, again, I feel like I go in on him a lot, is like, games like today really make me concerned about John Blackwell. And I'm like, he's a great player. He's probably our best player. But when he has games like this where I'm like, where did he go? Like, was he on the floor in the second half? Because nobody saw him play. And those are the things, and I'm not saying he's a bad player, but those are the things that you need to have to be a good team, to be able to compete with those guys. Yeah, you can beat Michigan, but you're going to lose to USC if John Blackwell doesn't have a good game, or kind of like that five. He turned the ball over five times today. Like they are falling a little bit short, but I'm not upset with the win-loss record at all. I want to be really clear on that. I'm fine with that. And I think we can still have a really successful season, but I did expect it to be a little bit like Blackwell. His thing is kind of surprising to me.
Yeah. I guess I want to reassess this. I know I said it, we're kind of right about where it was. You know, I would probably say we fell short. Fallen short because the losses that we've had, how uncompetitive we've been in them, in the bulk of them, I think that is a problem, because I think the record is probably where we'd expect it, but I don't think we expected to lose to third by 30 to Nebraska. I don't think we expected to get blown off the court by BYU. I don't think we expected to like not be competitive in some of these games like Purdue, and you look at it and you're like, you know, I expected us to offensively hold up a little bit better than we have in some of this, and that the defense was going to be a problem, but I didn't expect the defense to be an effort issue like it is at times with this team. It seems like when we play hard on defense, we're fine. When we don't, we're bad. And that speaks to me because that's more controllable than I anticipated it would be. I expected us to just be like less capable defensively and have it be more of if we just don't have the physical ability to guard better. I think legitimately I look at it and it's like a lot of this stuff is just strictly our guys locked in mentally and our guys in sync defensively. And a lot of the times that's not the case. And it feels like it feels like we're just gunners. I called us front runners earlier in the season. To some degree, I still think we are that too a bit. And I think that this team, I hate calling it, you know, Y team at times, but it kind of is. Like these guys play like they're the dude at the Y that nobody wants to play with, where they just want to jack up threes once you cross half court. And it's like, dude, it's miserable to play with guys like that.
It is interesting to think though, like had we won today, what would the tenor of this particular part of our discussion be? Like me asking you about expectations. Yeah.
And today was one of those things where it's a step back, where it's like, the last how many games, for the most part, we had a little hiccups. Like, I felt like we underperformed a little bit against Minnesota, but we played really well against Penn State. And then you have a day like today where you lay an egg. And it's like, I want to be able to believe in this team that it can consistently play good basketball. But when you have games like today where it's like the bulk of this game felt like USC controlled it, other than the part where we took the lead, it's really hard to believe in this team, like in any high stakes situation, because it's like, what are we going to get out of you? Are you guys going to show up? Are you going to be locked in and mentally like ready to play? Or is it going to be like one of those days where you're just like, who cares?
We took some bad shots today, obviously, as you mentioned. And I think that's one of the things that's frustrating for me is in those moments I said today on our other show that I put a lot of the blame on guard in this game, because I feel like he didn't change that. He didn't do anything in that stretch where they were literally, I mean, it was the slowest comeback of all time, but it was slow and steady and slow. And we just kept on sitting on 60, 63 points. They just like, here, we're going to just keep scoring more points. I'm like, come on. Change something, call a timeout, bring in different lineups, bring in four, like bring in a smaller team, put BC out there, like all these things. But it's just, so I do blame that. And I think that that's why I worry, but I do want to, be clear. Like, I really am, like, from the win loss record perspective, very happy with where we are, feeling like this team can still do good things. They're going to make the tournament as long as they don't really screw up. And like, I think that we could do something. We can maybe make a run to the Sweet 16. And I think there's pieces on this team that are good, but we can keep growing. We got a little better, right? There was optimism because of the way Boyd and Blackwell were playing well together. And I think that matters, but that has to continue. Like, this is like a little hiccup. Now take two more steps forward, right? Mm-hmm. It's fine. You had your step back. Now go up and like, let's make another like real effort to grow this team and make the season better. I think there's still a lot to play for here. And I'm really happy about what I'm seeing out of this team. That's why I want to do the midseason superlatives today, because I think there is stuff that's to celebrate here, but today was just a rough day.
I do question the game plan defensively in this game a bit. I think it's one of these games where I look at it and it's kind of like, why are you rushing? You know, you're closing out so hard against a team that's not a great three-point shooting team, when you should be far more worried about them getting downhill and attacking the rim because the level of athletes that they have. I would have been okay with this team just jacking up threes against us the whole game. We'd probably win this game if we do that. And instead, we kept closing out hard and getting put into a bind on defense because we're not an overly big team. And for whatever reason, we felt necessary to play wrap for an extended period in the second half when we're already limited athletically against a team like this. But he is completely useless in post defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just pack it in and rebound and take away the opportunities. Like, I want a team like this falling in love with a three ball, because I don't believe that they can beat you in that way. I don't think they're high enough caliber shooters from the perimeter to be able to just sink you with that. I definitely think they're capable of getting out and running on you or attacking downhill, because when you have a 6'7" or 6'8" guy attacking the rim and he's being guarded by a guy who's 6'4", he's going to be able to elevate over that guy every single time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Bo Dragon says Sweet 16. W2F, are you talking about? Yeah. I don't think we're going to necessarily make the Sweet 16. What I'm telling you is that I think we make the tournament and I think we can win a game, and that's making a run at the Sweet 16, because you're basically a win away from it. I don't know that we're going to get there. Today is not the day to ask me that. If we would have won today, I probably said, yeah, I think we are. Do we have a chance? Sure. I think, look, we beat Michigan. Okay. Like, that's not nothing. You have to, that matters. We can, because we have the ability to shoot 45% from threes at one point, and we're going to score 95 points on anyone in the country, and we're going to win that game. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying we're that level of team right now, but there is that potential there.
Yeah. I mean, this is what, our worst shooting game of the season?
I don't know if it's the worst, but it's probably definitely not 24% from three.
Like 34% shooting overall as a team.
Yeah. So, all right. So put your answers to these midseason superlatives in the chat. I'm going to put up a graphic here to show you what we're going to do. Oh, by the way, I forgot this earlier. Quick thing. Badger meetup next week in Madison for the Ohio State game. We are going to be at Pooley's on Friday night in just near Easttown Mall. We're going to be at the Echo Tap before the game on Saturday. So come on, come all, come hang out with us. We're going to be there. Justin, myself, Ryan, Nick Osen, I think, will be coming out as well. A lot of good people, friends of the community. So come join us. That'd be a lot of fun. Okay. So where did I put that? There it is. All right. So we're going to go through this list here. Midseason superlatives. Put your answers in the chat. We'll start with you, Justin. Now, it doesn't always have to be a player. It can be player, coach, anything, whatever you want to do about the team. Biggest surprise to the thus far in the basketball season?
You know, I would probably say, honestly, I think it's probably Bauskas. Like, I don't think any of us expected him to be able to provide. He's starting right now. I don't think any of us expected him to be more than like a 5 minute per game guy. And he's actually done a pretty darn good job for a true freshman.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I'm going with two things. One, the scoring is still a surprise to me. Like I knew that we were going to be a good scoring team, but we are averaging, like last few games, we're averaging over 85, 86, not today. But I think that the scoring has impressed me. And mine is Braden Carrington for this one. I really like Carrington. And I think that, like, when I think about, I expected him to be pretty decent, but he has been a nice surprise as a reliable bench scorer. Quite the hell of a sharp shooting three-point shooter, which is very nice to see out there. Very confident in the way he plays. He plays like he's a basketball player. You watch him play, you're like, he has poise out there. He understands the game. He moves well. Like, he just seems like a good guy to have on the floor, and he's very reliable, and I like that a lot. I think that's a good one for me. All right, let's go. I'll start with this one. Biggest disappointment. I don't even know. I'm looking at my paper, but
this is going to be a clean sweep, I'm assuming.
Austin Rapp. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I mean,
so much of his issues are a combination of effort and just like mental focus. And it drives me nuts. Like, positional defense and stuff like that, and understanding where your man is and just like having good vision on the court. Those are all things that are like, by this point you should have. Like, we knew that stuff back in junior high playing basketball. Like, how is it this hard for you to stay focused and locked in on where the hell your man is at a given time?
Yeah. I mean,
just, oh man,
it is frustrating. Like, we're not going to hit on every transfer. We hit on Nick Boyd. He's been fantastic. I think we hit on Andrew Rohde. I think he's really good. You're going to hear him in another answer from me. I really like those guys. Rapp just hasn't been him, and we need to play him less. We need to figure it out. The problem is we only have like four bigs that we play. You know, it's Garlock, Bauskas, Rapp, and Winter. And so we kind of need him out there to just play the four. So it's a struggle. Nick Hitchens, good friend of the show, says Blackwell, but kind of saw that coming. I can hear this argument for biggest disappointment on John Blackwell, because he's had games where he hasn't shown up. But if you look at his overall production, I mean, and I had it up and now I don't have it up, but I do have it up here somewhere. He's averaging 18.5 points a game. It's still pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I think, right? The issue with him has been consistency. Like, he'll have a game where he drops 30 and then he'll suddenly be 11. And it's like, can we find some level of, like, so we can have an idea of what to expect from you from game to game? Boyd's been much better at that. Like, he's been fairly consistent with what he has to offer on the court. And I think that that's been big for us this season, because he's pretty much been the only guy that we can, that's a lock to show up. Winter has been pretty good too, but I don't know. It's just been one of those things where it feels like he's the one guy that you know is going to give you something. Even if it's not overly efficient, you know you're probably going to get like 15 points or more from him. I don't know that I'm always getting that from Blackwell.
Yeah. Fair. All right. Number three, question mark going forward. So what is your biggest question mark going forward on this team? I'll let you go first on this one.
Final record. Like, I have no idea what to expect for them. Like, I could see them coughing up.
You can't give up final record. You got to give me something more than final record.
are they a tourney team, I guess, then? Mm-hmm. Because I don't know what to make of this team. Like, we legitimately could go into that streak and drop every single one of our tough games, or we could end up winning half of them and end up being one of the better teams in the league. And I don't know effort-wise, what I'm going to get from this team. So I have no clue what to expect. Like, we could win some really tough games if they come in and are invested and play hard and offensively play like they understand what they need to do in a given set, which is not jacking up a three-pointer with 28 seconds left on the shot clock wrap. Or, you know, they could go out there and just fall in love with a three and shoot themselves out of games.
So for me, this is my Blackwell answer here. This is Blackwell to me is the question mark going forward, right? Like, I, when I think about John Blackwell's season, I think about his production, what we need out of him. And I look at like, okay, am I confident in that? It's a question mark for me because he's going to have games where he drops 25. He's going to have games where he, you know, scores 8 and shoots poorly, turns the ball over like he did today. Like, that is my, why it's a question mark. Also because he's a barometer for us. Like, if when he plays well, if he's being himself, he's going to be incredible and we're going to win. So I hate to say it, because I think, again, you think he's one of our best players, but when John Blackwell is my question mark, like, I feel like that's a, I just don't know what I'm going to get out of him on a consistency level, as you mentioned before. All right, I'll go first on this one. X factor going forward. To me, this is Andrew Roddy. He's the X factor. I feel like he's the guy that's like, you can see the talent that he has, his ability to defend, pass the ball, shoot the ball. Like, he you could see that he's like, he kind of can, he's, I feel like he's going to go nuclear in one of these games. I feel like that's going to happen. But I feel like the more confident he gets in passing, finding passing lanes, things like that, he's going to be sort of like a focal point, not a focal point of the offense, but a guy that when he touches the ball, good things happen. And if that is the kind of Roddy we see, the growth that we've seen from the beginning to now, if we see continued steps and growth, there's a guy that I feel like can really propel this team forward. When you have your stars like Boyd and Blackwell doing their thing in winter, he's that X factor. I'm like, well, if he does well, and if he can be that guy that can elevate things a little bit, I like where this team's ceiling can be.
Yeah, for me, it's winter. I think if you can get him to play physically like you saw against Michigan, then this team's ceiling is incredibly high. But today, where you have games where you're watching him and he's just getting swallowed up by a team that's not overly skilled, it's really frustrating to watch him. Like, getting blocked multiple times on wide open layups, it's like, you've got to go up strong with that ball. You've got to at least draw the foul or be able to get a shot off. But getting blocked as the 7-footer that's on the floor, that can't be happening. So this team's ceiling is going to be derived based off of what he actually does. If he plays really well down the stretch, I think the team probably ends up coasting into the tournament fairly easily. If he does not, or he struggles kind of like he did today, things get really murky and we get really concerned with what we end up seeing from this team.
Yeah.
We've noticed when this team is really good, he shoots like 60%+ from the field.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm never going to – yeah, he's a massive part of the team. This is probably to either biggest disappointment or question mark, but Kevin Brown says, Janicki's minutes, yeah. That has been a disappointment, and it's a question mark, and it needs to be cleaned up. Nick Kitchen says for number 4, Roddy BC for X Factor. Yeah, I mean, certainly good things there, and good in sort of a good thought there, especially BC. Like, he can be a real X Factor for us. Rap, if he keeps getting health, if he keeps getting the minutes he is getting – Will Hanna, probably a negative in that regard. Team defense, X factor, question mark, potentially going forward. Okay, so let's, Bo Dragon, Kinzinger is the X factor. There's a go. There's a guy that can play a little more. There's another disappointment.
We talked about this on Ryan's show, and I don't know what the hell you pulled his red shirt for if this is what you're going to do with him. Like, if you're not going to give him 10 minutes a game, there's no reason whatsoever why you should have pulled his red shirt.
Yeah, agreed. And the thing is, like, he looks pretty good. It's not just about, like, we're not just saying give him minutes to give him minutes. I'm like, give him minutes when Blackwell isn't really up to snuff and not playing that well. Put him down. Bring an energy guy, because you know what? He's bringing energy. So you bring in that energy, and then all of a sudden he infects that into the team, and then Blackwell comes back out and plays better. Like, you gotta integrate him into the offense. You don't need to play – Janicki doesn't need those minutes. So if it's BC needs to play, yes – Kinzinger needs to get minutes. And I'm not saying he needs to be our sixth man or something, but yeah, he needs to get them for sure. All right, number five, midseason top defender award. Where are you going with this one, Justin?
I'm probably going to say Boyd. I don't know if that I've looked at him as being an incredible defender, but I think he's been very opportunistic. Like, he's had a ton of steals and breakouts that he's created. And I think that that's probably what I would have to say, because I don't think anybody I've really looked at has been incredible as a defender on this team. We've had some moments where guys look really good. We had some moments where as a group, they've looked pretty good. But this team has not really been a high-level defensive team. It's struggled. Winter would probably be the other guy that I would look at and say he's done a pretty good job at times.
Yeah, I agree with your what you just said there, that there really hasn't been one, but there's been moments. And I think you can see moments from Rhodey, moments from Winter, moments from Janicki, moments from Boyd. I think you can see moments from all those guys. Kevin Brown says there's not one. Nick Kitchen says we don't have one. No one could contain Baker Mazzara at all. Yeah, Baker Mazzara had his way with us. But I will give credit to Nolan Winter a lot, because I think he has done, like, I don't love that he's not scoring on the inside offensively, but I will give him credit. Like, I really thought it could be a total dumpster fire down there with, you know, with rim protection and kind of guarding in the post. I'm not saying he's great, but he's exceeded my expectations as a post defender. That's what I will say about Nolan Winter. So that's why he's officially my answer here, because I think he has done really well at times. I think Rhodey could definitely be the best defender on the team. And at times he's done well. Blackwell, not really playing great defense. But again, yeah, if he seems to like, he can turn it on sometimes, and he can, but you know. All right, most polarizing player. I'm going to go first on this one. My first answer is kind of Jack Janicki, because I just think, you know, he's people.
Are there that many people that are?
No, I mean, it's not really polarizing because a lot of people don't love him except as defending. But I'm going to actually, my official answer is kind of a cross here, but it's kind of Nick Boyd, because I do think Boyd, while he scores a lot and there's a lot of love for him there, the shot selection can be iffy. The propensity to just come down, take his step back, patented three that rarely goes in, like those things. And what happened today at the end was people are polarized on how they feel about that. He's a really, really important player, and he's one of the only guys that can score. He can create his own shot. The problem is everyone knows what that shot is, and it's just a layup on the left side. But so I think that's pretty polarizing. Garlock is another one for me where I'm like, some people really want him to play more. Some people want him to never see the field, never see the court. But Boyd is my official answer here, because I do think that I see a lot of, like, we love him, but we also don't love him. And we see a lot of that. Blackwell also has been getting a lot of that too.
I was going to say, that's my guy. Blackwell is the one that I look at. I think that he's had times where he's looked selfish on the court. Mostly that was earlier in the season, disinterested. And then other games where he seems completely locked in. And it's like, I think you look at when I watch him play, it's like, I don't know what I'm going to get from you on a night to night basis. Like, you can be either just on a complete heater, or you can seem like you just don't care from game to game. And so I think there's people that are really supportive of him, and there's other people that are kind of like me, where it's like, I expect more from you because I've seen you play at a high level for extended periods of time. And I'm not seeing that right now.
All right. Who's getting your vibes award? Number seven, energy, leadership, body language, swagger. Like, who's got the ultimate vibes on this team?
I think that's probably Boyd. He's the leader of this team. Like, this game could have easily been over by halftime if he doesn't basically carry us.
One of my favorite things that Boyd does, and I wish more people would do it, and I don't understand why they don't, is he pumps up the crowd and he gets the crowd involved. Like, every time there's a big possession, you see him raising his hands up, get up off your feet, make that Kohl Center more of a fortress. I totally love that. And I wish more players did that. And when players do that, I get excited. And I love seeing that, because that is what you need. You need that energy. And he brings it. He's confident. He cares. Do I love all his decision-making? No, but I completely agree. He is the vibes guy. Like, the more he's on the floor and he does this kind of stuff, like, it makes the team play better. He needs to continue to make the team play better through his leadership and his passing, but I think he's great. Great for vibes. Okay. Next up is lineup we trust the most. So give me your five guys in line. Or actually, I'm going to go first on this one. Lineup that we trust the most. So for me, it's Boyd, Blackwell, Rhodey, Braden Carrington, and Nolan Winter. Yes, that means no Billy Uskas. That means no Rapp. That means no Garlic. It means four guards, basically. Mm-hmm. But honestly, that is the lineup that I trust. That's the lineup where I'm, I don't feel like, I feel like anyone can score. I feel like we can be very versatile offensively with that lineup. And Braden Carrington's obviously proven to be a very good bench scorer. So near the end of games now, of course, from a defensive standpoint down low, it's very difficult to deal with that from a you know big standpoint because you don't have two bigs out there. So that's difficult defensively. But I think that lineup plays really well. And another thing about that lineup is Braden Carrington is a plus rebounder. In my opinion, like they're not huge.
It's good instincts numbers. Rebounding.
It's exactly right. And like, so he's averaging right now 2.3 rebounds a game, but it's not a ton, but he's also only averaging, he's only playing 14 minutes. I think he's an instinctual guy, as you said. And I think when those five are out there, I feel really good about it. I don't necessarily need another big.
I think those numbers have probably increased, by the way, over the last week or two here. Mm-hmm. When he's gotten more minutes. The only person that I would consider is even Bauskas, and I look at it and it's like, well, he's not enough offensively for me to say that. He's a better rebounder than Carrington, but that's mostly because of positioning and size. Like I look at it from the perspective of Carrington is far more of a threat to be a problem on the offensive end than what Bauskas is at this point in his career.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Kevin Brown says, I like that, especially since we don't rebound all that well anyway, not really giving up much. Yeah, I think that's going to be a lineup that we're going to see as things go. Okay, last one. You go first on this one, Justin. Mid-season MVP.
We're going to have the same guy. It's going to be Boyd.
It's not going to be Boyd.
Oh, it's not going to be Boyd, huh? No. All right. I think to me, he's been the guy. I feel like if you remove him from this team, I think this team probably falls off a cliff. Because I just don't trust if you take him off this team, who picks up that slack? Like if Blackwell had to sit out a game, I think you can slide Carrington into the rotation. And you can probably get away with some things and he could still provide something. There's nobody that you can put in for Boyd that you feel comfortable with being able to provide what he's given to this team.
And I would say the exact same thing that you just said about Boyd, about Nolan Winter. And because if you take him out, you have no big that is as reliable. The dude is a walking double-double. Okay. Like he's had a fantastic season, 14.3 points, he's basically averaging 9 rebounds a game. Like those are really good numbers from a guy that has put on a lot of weight, that, you know, was forced to become a true big when he's really more of like a stretch four. Mm-hmm. And he's still doing that. He's shooting 34% from three, not amazing, but he's doing that. Still shooting 73% 2-point field goal percentage. Like, I think Winter has been, and I understand that the common answer is Boyd, and I'm not going to say anyone's wrong for saying Boyd. That's perfectly fine. I get it. Totally hear that. I want it to be different because I knew you were going to say Boyd too. And I just feel like Winter is so critical. So when I think about most valuable to this team at this point, like his rebounding, his scoring, his ability to do what he does. And when he touches the ball, I'm going Nolan Winter here. I think he's had a fantastic year. And I love the growth.
I think that's fair.
Zach Bartz agrees. Says I go Winter and his near double-double average. That's solely to break away from the obvious Boyd choice. I totally hear any Boyd argument. I do go Winter here, but I also wanted to bring up the discussion and go elsewhere. All right, so finally, we'll just touch on a few predictions, kind of looking ahead to this season. Justin, right now we're 6-3 in conference. We've got a rough February coming up with, you know, Illinois, Michigan State, some other teams. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but it's not the prettiest of schedules. I'm actually just going to quickly run through it because I think it is fair for this discussion, but we have, Minnesota and Ohio State now, then at Indiana, at Illinois, home to Michigan State, at Ohio State, home to Iowa, at Oregon, at Washington, home to Maryland and at Purdue. What's our, now that you've seen it, we're nine games into the conference season. Where are you with Big Ten record?
think they find a way to get to 12-8.
Oh.
So we'll see if they can do it. But I do think that they, like, there's enough there. I think games like today hopefully are a wake-up call to them. Like, this is going to be one of those teams that every once in a while needs a kick in the ass to remind them that, like, the standard is this. You have to play to this level of intensity in order for you to be able to function at a high level. And the games where you slough off, it's going to cost you because you're not good enough to get away with taking chances and not, you know, giving optimal effort at all times.
I'm feeling like 13 is very doable here. And I may be in the minority because I'm now looking at the comments. I got Kevin Brown, who's like Mr. Pessimistic Badger fan, says 10, maybe 11. But like so Ohio State, let's say Ohio State and Minnesota wins. That's already two. Okay, so that's we're up to 8 then. Then I think we win like 2 of our next 4, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan State, Ohio State, maybe 2 of those. Okay. We could be down up to 10. And then you got Iowa at Oregon. Oregon's horrific. Iowa, we can beat at home, you know. And then you've got Washington, Maryland. Like, I think we can get to 13-7. I think that's my official prediction here. I think we will get to 13-7. We'll make the tournament. Obviously, I think we'll be probably a 6, maybe 7 seed. But that's,
I think that matter. Like, that comes down to, will this team lay another dud, or are they finally going to get their heads on straight and play consistent?
They will lay another dud, but they also might win at Illinois. I mean, like, they might win at Purdue. So I just feel like, but yeah, a lot of people clearly disagree. Smo says 11-9. Okay. I mean, that's very fair. But again, we're
that would be our season. Watch us lose to Oregon and then win at Purdue.
We're going to be 8-3. Hopefully, God, we better be 8-3 in a couple games. Cause that means if we don't, if we see another loss there, we're never going to be allowed to go back to any badger matchup. We go there for another loss. Like
if we have any major football game that we buy tickets to, somebody's going to beat us.
I mean, I've as soon as I said we were going to this game, I just got people saying like, oh, thanks for the loss. I'm like, yeah. Okay. I mean, I hear that. I hear that. Kevin says I need your optimism or at least the drink. Yeah. We'll get the drink and just count the games, man. Just look at
that. Yeah. They really punished you last year against that Oregon game. You guys went to that one, and then they—I
wasn't there.
15, and then they blow it.
I wasn't there. Ryan was there, but yeah,
it's Ryan's fault.
The streak still lives. Like it is not good.
Ryan is like Brad Pitt's character on Moneyball.
Yeah,
he needs to stay out of the field because they're gonna blow the game.
It's gonna be very difficult. But the one thing I would say is, when you look at February and beyond. We've got 6 of our last 9 Big Ten games are on the road. 6 of our last 9, because we're in a 3-game home stretch right now, and that's gonna come back the other way soon. So it's, you know, when we're sitting at that 8-3 and 11 games are in, like that's those 9 games are gonna be tough, but nonetheless. All right, Justin, any final thoughts before we close the show today?
You know. Today was rough. Hopefully the team learns from this that they can't play this way. Honestly, you have got to find a way to have more interior scoring on this team, because until you do that, it's going to be really hard to be consistent offensively. And you're going to have games like this where you just don't shoot well.
Is what it is. I'm going to go back to football for my last comment and just say, like, hope is fun. Let's just be excited about this. Like, spring ball's coming soon, and I think there is reason for real optimism. And I really mean that. I'm not just saying that. And I think that this team is spending more. This team got elevated in a lot of positions, and I do think it matters. If you're still watching, hit that like button. Appreciate that. That helps out the channel. Subscribe if you haven't already done so. And if you're going to be in Madison next weekend, please hit us up at Rajiv Badgers. My Twitter handle's on the bottom of the screen. Or if you're listening on podcast, at Rajiv Badgers. It's already pinned at the top of my profile, our schedule for the weekend. Come hang out with us. It'll be a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.